Well, so the movement, the Million Student March, is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education, as opposed to the really corporate model that we have right now. So the three core demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt, and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that going to be paid?
Oh, no, we're just going to demand it. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Great question.
How it gets paid. That's a great question.
You know, so I'm not sure if you're talking on like a national level or at particular schools. I can sort of touch on
we're
both.
We're talking about on the financial level, you stupid bitch.
Someone has to pick up the tab. Who would that be?
Who's paying for it?
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth and really sort of causing a catastrophe that students are facing. I mean, we have a relationship right now.
The 1%
where
that's 1% hoarding
of
the wealth.
Population
you mean
owns
the 1%
more wealth than the 99% combined.
Like the Apple Corporation that you keep giving your money to because you have to buy every new Apple product. Welcome. This is the first College Kid cast of 2019. I didn't realize it's been this long since I did a College Kid cast. Holy shit, man. And it is, next week is finals week. So the College Kids will be gone. Next week is the last week. Then it's summer. They go bye-bye? Everything quiets down? I would like to say I'm going to get caught up on podcasting and making fun of College Kids while they're gone, but we know that's not true because I'll still be trying to build this fucking theater set that hasn't got done yet and trying to refrain from killing people. We'll see how that turns out.
So where do they go? Let's say if you tax them, they're smart folks, these people, these 1% hoarders, right? So if they leave here, then who's going to pay for all this stuff that you want?
If they leave.
If they leave? They leave.
Oh, I mean, there's always going to be a 1% in the U.S.
There will always be other people's money.
Do you think the 1% could pay for all of this?
Thanks, cucks, for letting women vote. Thank you. Absolutely. Of course they could pay for this. You know, you never run out of other people's money.
You think your friends, their parents, your family would be happy to pay a little bit more to provide these guarantees and benefits?
Well, of course. Nothing's too good for vagina.
I come from an incredibly working class family.
No, you don't.
And my family is already on numerous forms of government assistance. And
because
they're
lazy.
And basically scraping by, you know, in order to get me through college.
And that's why you want free shit.
I live in a world and I see a system around me where there's a population that's doing nothing to contribute to the progression of society. And when your looks
are gone and you're alone, fur babies. How many nights you sit beside the phone? Fur babies. What were the things you wanted for yourself? A husband and children. But feminism made you give those things up for fur babies.
We're very rational, loving, accepting, non-xenophobic, and yeah, we're Assyrians. Come on over. Actually, I'm in Pennsylvania, so woohoo, we're still accepting refugees. Now this is one of them occasions where the homie's not doing it right. I mean, he found him a hold of the lie. But you can't make a hoe a housewife. And when it all boils down, you're gonna find in the end a bitch is a bitch, but a dog is a man's best friend. So what you found, you a hoe that you lie. But you can't make a hoe a housewife.
Housewife.
Smoke weed every day.
This is mine. This is mine. You do not get to take other people's property that's legally theirs in this country.
Man, fuck your laws.
Oh, fuck your laws. Yeah, too bad our laws keep us from killing you.
Everyone who doesn't think the way I do is
obviously
just a Nazi.
Or an incel.
Loudly preaching, understanding while we punch some Nazis.
Sprint to the co-op. I
she
get
sprints.
Two blue books.
That's the fastest little fat girl's ever moved in her life.
I'm sitting down in the front row. I text my friend who's in the class.
Oh my God.
Girl's like, I'm in the third row. And I turn around and she's not in the third row. I'm like, I don't know why you kicked out, but you're not there. Like, I'm in the first row. You're in the third row. That's not happening. And then I look around some more and I'm like, I've never seen these people before. And like, okay, I haven't been to class in like a month.
Because I don't go to class. Because my daddy's paying for it.
I'm like, this is RTF, right? This is like world cinema history. She's like, no, this is
world cinema history.
Okay, then
that's a class.
I text my friend.
If it's up your ass, you'd know where it was.
Different classroom assignments for your exam. We're in Hog. So I'm like, oh my God. And I run. And I run straight into a window.
Oh, if I could only, I'd love to see that.
So I scream an expletive and move 2 feet to the left to an open door and run to Hog.
Which was probably pretty difficult for her. All right, yes, there it is. One of my favorite intros. Of the intros I've created. Why? Because I am the Great One himself. Because I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Go fuck yourself. All right, let's get on to it. Let's get into this. I think this is going to be fun and interesting. I have not read these articles in advance. I have glanced at them. I've seen a couple of sentences in the middle. It looks prime. Both of these are both from the CSU Collegian. These are both written by somebody named Katrina Leiby. Yes, she's fat. No, I have not looked her up on LinkedIn yet to find out what she's majoring in. I'll LinkedIn stalk her later on when we have time because I would love to know what she's doing with her worthless life. Okay, here we go. Women are not responsible for taking care of men. That's the title. But of course, men are responsible for taking care of women, aren't we? We're supposed to rescue them when we're in trouble. We're supposed to learn not to rape so that we don't rape them. We're supposed to protect them all the time. We're supposed to pay taxes so they can get free abortions and free birth control and free police protection and free health care and all this other horseshit. But of course, women are not responsible for taking care of men. Oh, God, no. The idea that women would have responsibilities? Oh, fuck no. Don't get me wrong. I agree with her. Because in order to be responsible, you have to be an agent. Women are not agents. Women are objects. Here we go. In 1969, Tammy Wynette released the hit song Stand By Your Man, about standing by your man even when he's not a good man. Amidst controversy, she stood by the message of the song. We've moved on. We have moved on. From the age-old belief that women should act as caretakers to their husbands and boyfriends, right? Yes, because, I mean, just because you're married to a man, you shouldn't actually do anything to take care of him. Now, the fact that you're married to a man, he should, of course, give you access to his money. He should provide you with shelter, with clothing, with food. He should look the other way if you have sex with other men. He should provide you with many things because vagina. But as a woman with a husband or a boyfriend, you, of course, are not obligated to provide anything in his direction, right? It's completely a one-way street. Everything flows to women because women are like children. They can't really do anything to help other people because they can barely help themselves. actually wrong. In 2018, Ariana Grande was criticized by someone on Twitter for leaving a toxic relationship with the late rapper Mac Miller on account of his drug addiction. I love how for college kids, everything reduces down to what actors and singers and rappers say on Twitter. Like, did you college kids know that there's a world outside of Twitter? Furthermore, did you know that people like Ariana Grande and Mac Miller, who are, of course, the 1% that you think should be paying for your college and all this other stuff, in addition to the fact that they wouldn't be rich if you didn't give them your money, did you know that these people don't really matter? That in the actual scope of things, they are completely insignificant? The singer responded in a tweet saying, quote, "I am not a babysitter or a mother, and no woman should feel that they need to be," unquote. What if you actually are a babysitter? What if you get paid to be a babysitter? What if you actually are a mother? What if you have children? So ladies, despite what society in your heart tells you, don't always stand by your man. This option is not an attack on men, of course it isn't, but it is an attack on traditional roles, which is an attack on men, in relationships that can land women in dangerous places. Okay, yet again, let me point out, whenever you hear these women whining about they're in a dangerous relationship and I'm not going to stand by my man because he beats me or he's an alcoholic or he's a drug addict or whatever, okay, it's not like you were sitting there at home, okay? You're here, you're at home, you're at your mom's house because you can't afford to get a place on your own. So you're at your parents' house in the bedroom where you grew up and you're 27 years old because you still live at home because you have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of college debt and you got a degree in intersectional homosexual puppetry and you work part-time at Starbucks, okay? So you're, oh, and you have your fur babies. You have 3 fur babies that came from the rescue shelter. So you're sitting there at home and you're watching Game of Thrones by yourself with your fur babies because you don't have any friends because nobody likes you because you have green hair and piercings. And suddenly, the windows to your bedroom are smashed in. And Republicans come swinging through the windows and they're wearing their red MAGA hats. And the Republicans swing in there and they've got machine guns and they grab you and they throw you up against the wall and they stick the machine gun in their face and they say, okay, you see this drug-using bad boy over here who's unemployed? He's going to be your boyfriend. And then they force you to date him. Or in some cases, to get knocked up by him and even maybe subsequently marry him, right? So the evil Republicans who broke into your bedroom at your mom's house while you're watching Game of Thrones, they actually hold you down on the bed and then they get the bad boy who has tattoos and bad breath and low IQ and can't get a job and lives with his parents also. And like with those dogs that can't fuck because they're so inbred, they take the bad boy and they spread your legs and they stroke his dick till it gets hard. And then they stick his dick inside you and they pump him back and forth and everything. And he shoots inside of you and then you spit out the baby and then they make you guys get married with a shotgun. And you had nothing to do with the fact that the man you married is a piece of shit, right? Nothing to do. And of course, girls, that has nothing to do with you. Republicans force you to date, get impregnated by, and marry men who are pieces of shit. And so, of course, you have no obligation to stand by these men. Because it's not like you chose to date these men, to have sex with these men, to be impregnated by these men, to not get an abortion when these men impregnated you, and you certainly didn't choose to marry them. Republicans force you to do these things against your will. So, I mean, she's right. You women, you have no obligation to your husbands or boyfriends whatsoever because you had nothing to do with choosing those husbands and boyfriends. They were forced upon you by Donald Trump. Society has often told women that men's emotions are fragile. Really, when exactly has society, excuse me, there's my throat. When exactly has society told anybody, much less women, that men's emotions are fragile? Society has often told women that men's emotions are fragile and we should protect them. That is pure bullshit. What society, and society can't tell anybody anything because society is not a sentient being with a voice or the ability to communicate. Nowhere in our society is there any sort of message going forth that men's emotions are fragile and they should be protected. If anything, men's emotions are ignored. Grand is a perfect example again. After she broke up with comedian Pete Davidson, he threatened suicide publicly. Wait, Ariana Grande. So how many men has she broke up with? Didn't she broke up with Mac Miller, and now she's breaking up with somebody named Pete Davidson. Boy, she kind of gets around, doesn't she? Women are now faced with two choices. Right. You can either be parasites or you can be parasites. Women are now faced with two choices. We can remove ourselves from toxic relationships. Well, no, you can't, because to remove yourself from a situation would require agency, which you do not possess. Or risk feeling the guilt of hurting someone. No, women don't feel guilt over hurting other people because women are massively selfish. Women, and once again, this is why women posture so hard about how much they care and how compassionate they are and all this other shit, because they don't. Women don't give a flying fuck about other people. To put it simply, because she's writing for women and she has to simplify everything, to put it simply, what? Wait? It actually says, to put it in simply, you hurt yourself or you hurt him. Once again, we don't have editing, because to edit would require agency. To have agency would require testosterone. In her essay, quote, "We're Not Done Here," Lori Penny, I don't know who Lori Penny is. Lori Penny, an award-winning journalist, okay, so she's a nobody, and essayist, writes, quote, "All of us love sex and all of us love men, all men, no matter how badly they behave. Because that's what it means to be a good woman. It means loving what you're told to love no matter how much it hurts you." No, sweetie, you love bad men because you, I explained this how many fucking times now, women want the alpha men. They want the powerful men. They want the men who can shape and control their destiny. But because you women, especially nowadays with social media and the fucking inbreeding and the crossbreeding and the public education and the social retardation and the lack of fathers and all plenty of other stuff mixed into it, you are not skilled enough to differentiate the difference between an actual alpha male, a man who is successful and accomplished and confident and able to achieve things, and a piece of shit. Right? You confuse the bad boys with the alpha males. And because there's a lot more bad boys than alpha males, that's what you end up having sex with. That's what you end up dating. That's what you end up marrying. And then you act all surprised that this guy you've been dating for 5 years, who's covered in tattoos and has fucked 30 or 40 women and does drugs, then you act all surprised when he gets in trouble for doing drugs and gets arrested. And you go, I'm not going to stand by him. I'm not going to support him. It's not my job to support him. I'm leaving him. Which, to be clear, I'm not saying you should stand by a man who's a piece of shit. I'm saying you shouldn't have been dating him or marrying him to begin with. Right? The idea, I'm going to be really clear about this. The idea that, so you choose to date a man who is a piece of shit, right? And you date the guy for a year, and then he does something that's shitty, and you're like, well, I'm just fucking abandoning him. It's not the abandoning him part because he did something shitty that the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is the entire year where you pretended he wasn't a piece of shit and you dated him despite his shitness, right? And then for him to do something like whatever, punch you in the face or inject heroin or whatever, and for you to stand there and just suddenly act like surprised, like I had no idea. It just came out of nowhere. And now I'm just going to walk away from it. Things may have changed since 1969. Yeah, women got a lot fatter and uglier. But the fear of hurting a spouse and the need to please men has not changed as much as we would like to believe. Yes, I know women still go through their lives focusing on the need to please men. That's why there's all these fat girls with green hair and tattoos and face piercings, because they're trying so hard to please men. History, which none of us have actually studied or know anything about, history has told us women that we should love and always stand by our men because we know what it's like to hurt, and we never want them to feel that. I don't really know what history she's talking about. Many men have a rough exterior that can be shattered. Ah, yes, the romantic fantasy of I'm going to date this thug and I'm going to reform him. I'm going to fix him. I'm going to mold him into what I want him to be so that I can be happy. Right, that's the female fantasy. That's every romance novel ever written. Many men have a rough exterior that can be shattered, yet we don't see it happening often because it's scary and uncomfortable to see a man cry and express emotions or pain. Okay, men do not cry. Okay, we've been over this before. If your pet dies, you're allowed to cry. And when Richard Wright, the keyboard player for Pink Floyd, died, you were allowed to shed a tear. That's it. Other than those two, sir, your pet and Richard Wright, that's it. You can cry. Other than that, no, you don't get to cry. There's no crying here. However, it is not necessarily their fault. It is the fault of society for never allowing it to be okay for men to express emotions. In other words, it's the fault of men because last time I checked, our society was dominated by the patriarchy. Right? The patriarchy controls everything. So, well, it's not men's fault, it's society's fault. See, that's the kind of excuse women use. Once again, that's the difference between object and agent. So you go, well, I can't cry because of society. In her essay, there's a lot of essay referencing in this fucking op-ed piece. In her essay, The Great Sink, Penny wrote, quote, "Society at large is unable to cope with male fear and distress, whereas women's pain is normalized, made invisible." Yes, because women's pain is invisible. Because we never hear anything about titty cancer. We never hear anything about the wage gap, sorry, the effort gap. We never hear anything about women having to pick up heavy objects. We never hear anything about women getting raped. We never hear anything about women getting No, women's pain is completely invisible in our society. I don't think I've ever anywhere heard anything about women, especially white women from North America, experiencing any discomfort whatsoever. Yeah, no, that's totally hidden. I mean, what kind of fucking delusional fantasy world do you stupid broads live in? As you go through life, you, me, all of us, as we go through life, we are constantly bombarded with images of, references to, and whining about women experiencing discomfort. This entire op-ed piece is about women experiencing discomfort and pain because they're expected to stand by and support the men that they chose. That part at the beginning about how Donald Trump and the Republicans would break into your bedroom and force you to date men, that was a joke. See, that was satire. That was not real. That was not what really happens, okay? This entire op-ed piece is about women experiencing pain and discomfort because they're expected to actually support the men they chose to date and marry. And of course, you cucks, you want to let these women vote. Thanks a lot, cucks. Thanks. Thanks, cucks. Cuck. Cuck, cuck, cuck. Cuck, 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 cuck. Cuck. Cuck, cuck. 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 Okay. In her essay that nobody's read, The Great Sink, Penny wrote, quote, "Society at large is unable to cope. Society is not a sentient being. It doesn't cope with things. Society at large is unable to cope with male fear and distress." Male fear and distress. Really? So you're saying that no men have ever been sent into combat where they would experience fear and distress? Oh. Yeah, yeah, we just can't cope with sending men off to war to kill and be killed. Yeah, no. Do you women ever... No, you don't, because you don't have self-awareness. I don't even need to ask the question. You don't have self-awareness, and this is yet more evidence of it. "Society at large is unable to cope with male fear and distress, whereas women's pain is normalized, made invisible, and accepted up to a certain degree as our lot in nature and creation," unquote. You know, just because somebody writes something doesn't mean the thing they wrote is true. In toxic relationships, women have to do most of the emotional heavy lifting because that is what is traditionally expected and that is what is comfortable. No, you stupid bitch. The sentence should say, in toxic relationships, women have to do most of the emotional heavy lifting because the women don't have the agency to exit the relationship despite the women being unable to shut the fuck up about how strong and independent fish bicycle they are. Sweetie, if you're in a toxic relationship, leave. It's a great one, but isn't that what she's saying? Aren't you? No, that's not what she's saying. She's whining about people staying in the toxic relationships and supporting the person she's in a toxic relationship with. Just leave. If you find out, once again, it's not like you're dating some guy for 3 years and wake up one morning and suddenly discover that the relationship is toxic and that the guy you're dating is a piece of shit, okay? These are not things that just sneak up on you. Loveisrespect.org reports that nearly half of dating college women, oh, I can't wait to read this sentence. Nearly half of dating college women say they have experienced abusive dating behaviors. But nobody really knows what that means. What is an abusive dating behavior? Does that mean the guy beat you on the first date? Did he beat you on the 1900th date? Why did you keep going back? Is abusive dating behavior, is that like he expected you to pay for your half of the meal? I mean, what does that mean? Toxic relationships are real, and they are happening now. Yes, sweetie, but remember, for a toxic once again, I know I keep harping on female agency, which does not exist. A toxic relationship requires two people, to participate, okay? Like, I cannot have a toxic relationship with a girl unless she chooses to also have a relationship with me, unless I'm a stalker. Okay, stalking, that's different. That is one-sided. Stalking is different. But we say, well, it's a toxic relationship. Okay. Have you ever thought of leaving? Not whining about it, not complaining about it, not telling everybody about your pain and looking for sympathy. Just stop dating the guy. I mean, I married him and well, why did you marry him? Did you not, I don't know, talk to him, interact with him? Once again, this idea that you married some man and then just suddenly find out that he's a drug addict or a womanizer or a Republican or a wife beater or whatever it is that offends you so much. We dated for 3 years and got married and all of a sudden he was a different man. No, he wasn't. You know why? Because we men are not that complex. See, now women will put up the facade. Women can fucking fake who they are for a good 6 months. You know how long men can fake who they are? I'm telling you, how long I can fake who I am to a woman? 7, maybe 8 seconds. And I can't, no, because we don't have that ability to just fucking blatantly lie about every aspect of who and what we are, like women do. We just don't have that. You know exactly who and what a man is. If you have interacted with a man for, and I'm trying to be realistic here, not funny, I'm serious. Like if you have interacted with a man for more than 3 months, I mean, it's just because you might see him one time in three. Okay, if you have interacted with a man for at least, I would say 200 hours, there is nothing about him you don't know. Nothing. Because we cannot, because we are men, because we focus on things, we have shit to do, we do not have time to build and maintain this bizarre facade of who we want to project we are, the way you women do, with your makeup and your titty implants and your Instagram and your filters and your Snapchats and your fuck all this shit, right? We just don't have time for that shit, or the effort or the energy or the caring. If you have interacted with a man for more than 200 hours, you know exactly who the fuck he is. And when you act all surprised that he punched you in the face because you mouthed off, I'm not buying it. You know, like with this chick, Ariana Grande leaving Mac Miller on account of his drug addiction. Like, she didn't know he was addicted to drugs. Okay, she knew he was addicted to drugs. What, within 40 hours of dating him, within 40 contact hours of that guy, she knew he was on drugs. This did not just come at her out of the blue. The justification and reasoning behind why women stay in these relationships is old. No, once again, the reason is because you're stupid, because you're getting something out of it. Because you like his cock, or he's got money, or you're just stupid, or you're just fucking sexually attracted to him. You're, once again, Donald Trump is not forcing you to continue to date men who are abusing you. He's not. Like, if your boyfriend smacks you in the face and you say, I'm leaving, as you're walking to the door, Donald Trump doesn't come through the door and grab you and force you back into the room with your abusive boyfriend and force you to keep dating him. And this is why when I stand here and I say women don't have agency. I'm not just making this up. They don't have agency. It is time to stop normalizing toxic relationships. You girls can stop dating and marrying men who are pieces of shit anytime you want. Insert here another joke about Donald Trump forcing you to date pieces of shit, okay? You girls can stop doing this any time you want to. You don't want to. It is time to stop normalizing toxic relationships and accepting the role of caregiver that women traditionally take on. It is not a woman's predetermined role to fix, take care of, or coddle anybody, especially a person that is supposed to be her equal. Okay, first of all, it's you women who always want to fix men. Second of all, supposed to be her equal. No, sweetie, men are not your equals because you're not equal to us. Please stop with the equal shit. You're not equal. All right, let's do the next one. Where am I on time? Hang on one second, guy. I gotta look at some. I don't gotta do anything. What is it? I don't need that. What is this over here? Oh, good God. Mm-hmm. All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Yep, all right. Okay. That can all wait. All right, here we go. It's another one by Katrina. Title. It's not inclusive if it's not intersectional. I mean, this is what we have to worry about in our lives. When you're a woman, this is what's at the forefront of your tiny little mind. Colorado State University has pushed inclusivity for as long as most of us can remember. Ah, yes, I love when 19-year-old children use phrases like, for as long as most of us can remember. And how long can you remember, sweetheart? Did you know, Katrina, that I have t-shirts that are older than you? From putting the principles of community on posters to handing out No Place for Hate pins, CSU has never failed to remind students of its intentions. No, CSU has never failed to virtue signal in a desperate attempt to pacify the inferiors. It's not news, however, that CSU has seen multiple incidents of racial discrimination recently. Oh, is this going to be about affirmative action and how people get preferential treatment based on their skin color? Let's see. Let's find out. We saw it with these students sharing stories, emphasis on stories, of discrimination on social media. My God, will you people get off the fucking internet? I was discriminated against on social media. Will you people get off the fucking internet? My God, you are losers. As well as with the hate speech found in Warner College just last month. That hate speech being the writing on the bathroom wall about how European culture must be preserved and diversity is not the answer. With CS Unity coming up, it is important not to overlook the lack of intersectional inclusion on this campus. Now, what I'm hoping is at some point she's going to explain to me what the fuck intersectional inclusion actually is. And this is not me trying to be funny. I really don't even know what the fuck this means. I always say you shouldn't criticize things if you don't actually understand them, but I'm admitting to you in all honesty, because I am the Great One himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 14 years, right, always been right, always will be right, never been wrong. I have no idea what the fuck intersectional inclusion even fucking is. It is one thing to intend to be inclusive of everyone, but it is another thing to actually be inclusive. Yes, much as it is one thing to intend to be strong and independent, it's another thing to actually be strong and independent. People on this campus will gladly speak up about feminist and LGBTQ KKK issues because they affect white people. And now we're into racism. It took us this long to get there. Right, so now we're into hating white people. Once it becomes an issue of race, such as the multiple incidents of discrimination, only one of which took place in real life and the others were on social media, once it becomes an issue of race, such as the multiple incidents of discrimination, students and organizations often suddenly forget they have a voice. What is a voice? Once again, well, we could say that, no, why don't you go do something? For example, if CSU campus is not intersectionally inclusive enough for you, why don't you go someplace else? Right? I mean, if the white people around you are oppressing you so much because white people are racist, why don't you go someplace that has fewer white people? Oh, that's right, because those places also don't have shopping malls, indoor plumbing, flush toilets, electricity, supermarkets, and iPhones. That's why you don't go someplace else. You don't get to call yourself inclusive if you pick and choose the genders, races, ethnicities, and sexualities that you are supportive of. Okay, so once again, affirmative action based on skin color, gender, sexual orientation is a situation where people are picking and choosing who they support based on race, ethnicity, blah, blah, blah. So there's nothing actually wrong with picking and choosing based on gender, race, ethnicity, and sexuality, as long as the picking and choosing is biased away from heterosexuals, away from white people of European descent, away from men, away from people who have jobs. This lack of intersectionality when fighting for inclusivity might come from the trend of victimhood in our society, especially among white people. Yes, white people are always crying about being victims. You never hear women or homosexuals or trannies or pedophiles or immigrants or Muslims playing the victim card. Goodness, no. No, that never happens. Psychology Today says that, quote, in our culture of victimhood, victims can be excused for victimizing others, taking away the rights, freedoms, and autonomy of others in order to service their victimization. So is that like when there's a school shooting and the victims of the school shooting try to take away other people's guns? Is that what you're talking about? Is that like when people make poor decisions in their life and they end up without money, and so they take money away from other people to transfer to them in the form of welfare and food stamps? Is that the kind of taking away freedoms and autonomy and rights that you're talking about? Oh, no, good. She's going to give us some examples of what she's talking about. Oh, this is fantastic. I can't wait to hear about this. All right. We see this when people jump to correct others when they misgender someone or say, you guys, rather than y'all. Wait, so y'all is preferred now? Hey, why don't you guys stop fucking appropriating my Southern culture? Furthermore, the bitch is so goddamn stupid, she spelled y'all Y-A-apostrophe-L-L. The correct spelling of y'all is Y-apostrophe-A-L-L, you stupid fucking bent. Not only are you appropriating my culture, you don't know how to spell my fucking words. But see, it's totally okay because I'm a heterosexual white man with a job who doesn't get any kind of welfare from the government, and you're a fucking stupid woman. You're a white woman from North America, and you must never experience discomfort. But you're strong, you're independent, you're equal fish bicycle. We see this when people jump to correct others when they misgender someone or say you guys rather than y'all, but remain quiet when an obvious act of racism occurs. An obvious act of racism. Yeah, I see a lot of obvious acts of racism. I mean, the other day, I was going over to Weyland-Yutani and I saw a bunch of white guys rounding up black people and putting them in chains to sell them off as slaves. It happens all the time around here. It's not that misgendering should go unnoticed, but standing up for issues facing one group of people is less impactful when you are not standing up for all people. So you see, you're not allowed to decide what battles you're going to fight, who you're going to stand up and not stand up for. You have to stand up for all people. Except, you know, evangelical Christians, the alt-right, Trump supporters, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Those people you can shit on. Totally okay. You just shit all over them. But you have to stand up for all these other people who are, of course, all equal and strong and independent and capable, and they've achieved so much. But it's up to us, heterosexual white men, to stand up for them. It is easy to excuse racism when it comes from someone who has been the victim of something themselves, whether that be sexism, ableism, homophobia, misgendering, etc. However, that should no longer be an excuse. Although this campus has a predominantly white population, that doesn't mean we should only focus on the issues that affect the dominant population. No, you should never focus on the issues that affect the majority of the people in a given geographical region. You always want to focus on the outliers. That's how you make society great. If we can ask people to respect the million different identities that white people have. Hold on, I thought white people didn't have identities and culture. If we can ask, but furthermore, white people cucks do. Non-cucked white people are not asking anyone to respect their culture. Non-cucked white people are just telling you to fuck off and die. Non-cucked white people are telling you to remove yourselves from our culture if our culture is so toxic to you. It's like being in a relationship. Once again, we see the inherent victimness. Here we go. The victimness and the fucking lack of agency of women. My boyfriend beats me. Okay, well, leave your boyfriend. Well, but I can't. Okay? CSU is oppressing me because it's not inclusive and intersectional enough. Okay? Leave CSU. And deer in the headlights. Once again, women are not agents. They are objects. They are not capable of changing themselves. They don't have self-awareness. So this stupid bent expects CSU and society around her to change in order to make her happy, right? This, once again, I've explained this over and over time, blue in the fucking face. This is why you don't let women in the workplace. As soon as a woman comes into the workplace must be modified to accommodate the woman. If there's heavy objects that would normally be picked up by one person, you have to make them lighter, or you have to have two girls to pick them up. If you have a fucking calendar with girls in bikinis on it, you have to take it off the wall, right? You have to change all these things in the workplace to accommodate the women. And this is the exact same thing. She came to CSU. CSU is not intersectionally inclusive enough for her, so now CSU must be changed in order to accommodate her. If we can ask people to respect the million different identities that white people have, we should be able to ask them to respect people of color. Yes, you can ask, and I can say no. As a white, cisgendered, heterosexual female, I question the female part, I recognize my privilege on this campus. But I also recognize that because of my identities, there's multiple identities, I have an opportunity to say the things that are not often listened to, even if I am not speaking on behalf of myself. Yes, because certainly nobody in our modern society, and certainly nobody on college campuses, ever talks about trannies and homosexuals and colored people and pedophiles. No, we never hear about any of these groups of people. They are so oppressed and silenced. I wonder if she realizes how she's presenting herself as being victimized here in order to get power. Allyship, a relationship of trust and respect with marginalized groups, is not true allyship if it is not intersectional. Allyship, like friendship, like a relationship, allyship. You, why are you not working? Not you. Oh, because you're a woman and you don't have a job. Whoa, how much? Oh my God, I keep forgetting that the College Kid cast is longer than the normal podcast. I've way too much time left. We may have to cut this one short. Plus, I gotta go deal with this fucking theater set that still isn't fucking built. Feminism without intersectionality is a form of white supremacy. Feminism without intersectionality is a form of white supremacy. I wonder if she's going to work incels into this. Standing up for issues affecting white people, but failing to acknowledge racism at all, is another way of saying the issues that affect white people deserve more attention and discussion. Well, they do, because this is not a nation anymore. This is a country of white people. I don't know why it's so hard to understand that the people who live in a geographical region are more important than people who live in other geographical regions, or that they're more important than importing people from other geographical regions. Would you go to Africa and tell the black people in Africa, you know, you guys really need to put the needs of the few white people here ahead of your own, because the idea that all of you black people in Africa are putting your own needs ahead of the minority is racist? What all of this is once again, you have... you have this minority of people who are freaks, who cannot function in society, who are total parasites, who offer nothing of value to anyone else. And this is them looking for attention. In a normal, healthy society, the people who actually have jobs and do things and keep things running and accomplish stuff and pay taxes and don't rape and don't murder and don't burn things down and don't fuck children, right? Those people would be the people that the government and the institutions are there to support and encourage and look out for. And we have people like Katrina, who is a completely worthless human being, will never contribute anything to our society, and she knows this. And that's why there's this, but well, we can't just cop out what the heterosexual white people want. This is all posturing and positioning in order to... Well, it all comes back to parasitism. This is all about taking resources and power and influence away from the people who produce and transferring it to the parasites. That's all this boils down to. A possible way to counter this problem may be more simple than it seems. Oh boy! I can't wait to hear how we're going to counter the problem that white people care about what happens to white people. Rather than plastering posters all over with principles of community, using words like diversity and inclusion like they are concretely defined, or creating more generic slogans, we should just ask people not to be racist. So we're getting rid of affirmative action quotas. Excellent. This is exciting. We're going to ask people to not be racist. Rather than just saying no place for hate, we should also say no place for racism, because clearly we need to be reminded. It doesn't take a lot to do these things, and it doesn't mean we have to forget about other marginalized groups. No, because you can always find other marginalized groups. You can always create more victims, because victim creation is all you're good at, and it's all you're good for. Because you're not going to create anything of value for society. You're just going to create victim groups. Because this is your way of getting attention. Right, Katrina? This is your way of getting power. By sitting here going, look at all these marginalized people and victim groups. And we have to do something to help them and to stop being racist. And because you say these things, you get attention. And attention is your currency. This is about you, Katrina. This is about you. All it requires is to recognize the privilege of white people and for once think outside of it. That is not a lot to ask. I don't know, Katrina. I think in your case, asking you to think inside, outside, wherever, just asking you to think, period, would be a lot to ask.